today on Real Radio.
There's no man on earth, has never been, ain't now, won't ever be good enough to die for our sins. It doesn't work. No one's good enough. No one comes close. That's why God came down.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Hello, and thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you being here. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to Him so He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 8, we learned that trust is both powerful and fragile. It's true we all operate on some level of trust, but trusting in the Lord means simply to wait on Him to act. But like many of us today, Judah chooses not to wait and looks for help outside of God's truth and God's promises. Now in Isaiah chapter 9, we'll look at how the New Testament gospel writer quoted from Isaiah more than any other Old Testament prophet. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that over 700 years before Jesus is born, Isaiah spoke of God's Son coming down to us. Jesus came to bring salvation, but in both Isaiah's time and in Jesus' time, his hometown of Nazareth was despised, unclean, and associated with a curse. During the second coming, however, it's going to be a very different story. Jesus will sit on the throne of David, and his government will last forever. And now continuing his lesson called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 1. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jesus said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Now, let's be honest. Now, granted, we've got perfect hindsight living 2,000 years later. We know the Bible. Somebody could have, should have. Everything that's available to them, we have. They could have jumped up and said, I am Rabbi Shlemiel. And I'm here to tell you what he just said is true. The Old Testament prophets told us this is what would be said, where it would be said. His birthplace, come to think of it. It was Bethlehem. I remember 33 years ago, the baby born in Bethlehem. The bread of life came from the house of bread. Mary, the whole story, Isaiah, pregnant, no man involved. Prophet said it, I got it, he's the one. Boom, slam, let's go. Let's have some falafel. Let's go eat, let's celebrate. This is the one. It should have been that simple. And I'm serious. It was already written in the prophets. You see, listen, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't know the one of the scriptures. And it's wonderful, and all of us should strive to be Bible students, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman rightly being able to divide the word of truth. Well, you'll never be led astray that way. You'll be able, you know the word of God, you'll be a regular old cult detector. I mean, you'll hear false doctrine and boop, 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 boop. You'll know it like that. If the Bible's in you, wham. And that's awesome. But listen, if you don't have the one who is in your heart and life personally, if you don't have that passion, that daily living with him, that hunger to know him more, I want to believe that when Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, I want to believe that there is at least a crowd somewhere in that room that went, yes, hallelujah. It's amazing to realize that in that little region of that area of the Gentiles, it's called, from that. If you're with me and we're approaching the northern shore of the Galilee, Gadara's on the right at about 2 o'clock, and Magdala is to the left at about 11 o'clock. Are you with me, everybody? Can you? Because this really looks stupid right now, what we're doing here. But do you see? And if back here behind us is way down south, Tiberias is over here at about 7 o'clock. Capernaum, Bethsaida, Chorazin, oh, it's all over here. Jesus' ministry, two-thirds of his ministry took place in just that little swath of what's probably several miles from here to there. And Jews didn't like to go to that part because it was where the Gentiles were at. Now look, I as far as I know, I have no Jewish blood in me at all. I'm a Gentile. This is good news for me. Jesus Christ introduces his ministry in a synagogue, but the announcement is made saying that the light has shone to the regions of those, not only to the Jewish people, but to the Gentiles of the world. Where did Jesus meet you? Or where did he go get you? Where did he pick you up out of? Think of it. It could have been you could have been in a church. You could have been just so moral in some religion, he snatched you out of that. You could have been on the streets of who knows where, and he snatched you out of that. Could be achievement, could be pride, could be drugs, could be sex, could be whatever, and he rescued you. He does that, you know. We're all so grateful about that. Look down at verse 6 and 7. For unto us, the prophet says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Now, this is a punchline here. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm in such trouble. That was introduction. Here we go. This is the word from the prophet. God is speaking to him, and the prophet speaks forth the word, and he says, this is it. Isaiah, 743 years before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, Isaiah the prophet, his body now, his body's turned to dust, his bones are turned to dust. He's entombed. He's Isaiah. He's gone off the scene, yet he leaves this word, and the word is available in every synagogue to read, and I want all of you to pay close attention to it. It is absolutely something that I believe every human has to deal with, and I even believe this to the point where someone's going to ask you, yeah, but what about the guy running around in South America that's never heard the Bible? The Holy Spirit, I believe, somehow still speaks to that guy running around in his sandals and spear, having no missionary to speak to him. I think Romans chapter 1 says God's invisible attributes are clearly seen among those whom he's created. And what is it? Look at it with me as we mark this down. Number one is the God of the Bible is the God who came down to us. The God of the Bible is the one who has come down to us. His Son, our God, your Savior, came down to us. When it says there in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, notice that in the English, the child, it's capital C. It's there, it's the announcement, it's the word displaying divinity. That the context and the structure demands divinity. This is not a child. Mark this, obviously. Children are born every day. No, a special child is to be born. This speaks of, listen, that God has come down, but watch this, it speaks of our inheritance. Notice, for unto who? Say it. Unto us a child is born. I mean, listen, it's great that kids are born, but if it's not your kid, who cares? But the Bible says, listen up, everybody, listen up, world. Unto you a child is born, or a child is going to be born. Keep your eye open. The Bible is announcing to all mankind that we have an inheritance. It's special. Something strange is going on with this prophecy. It's not of money. It's not of gold. It's not of land. It's not of blood. I say blood in the sense of blue blood. It's not property. It's salvation. It speaks about us inheriting salvation. This is a special child. He's going to come to us, says the Bible. And I'm just going to ask you in a sarcastic, lovingly sarcastic way, have you ever heard of such a thing before? Could this possibly have ever happened? That someone has supposedly come from another world called heaven. And he came among us. A child was born, shrouded with controversy. That for 2,000 years, we've looked back to this story. And for thousands of years, people looked ahead to it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, Romans 8:16, the Bible says, the Spirit himself, listen, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is, I say this, you hear it, but this is a miracle. It's absolute miracle. Look at capital S in that verse 16. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness. The Holy Spirit says, I'm here. Listen, friend, listen, to your heart. To your heart, the Holy Spirit says to you, if you just calm down, just slow down. You know how the day pressures you and you worry and you fret and you're wondering, I'll never be good enough to make it to heaven. Duh. Of course you're not going to be good enough to make it to heaven. Thank God that's not the criteria. Oh, I want to go to heaven so bad. I love Jesus, but I'm just such a failure and I don't think God loves me. Listen, you got to stop that thinking. And you got to go biblical on yourself. And the Bible tells us, listen, if you're here tonight and you understand, you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that that's whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe that, then the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, I am bearing witness with you, to you, that you're my child. But, we say, don't we? Are you like me? I'm always arguing with God about the best stuff. I remember my mom getting really mad at me when I was a kid. I actually remember this. I used to be really hungry, but I didn't know what I wanted to eat. Oh, you're not? Some of you are going, my kid has that disease too. Yeah, it's like, I'm hungry. Well, my mom, you know, she would make this, and I don't want that. That's just a brat. And sometimes, you know what? God says, I love you, Jack. No, there's no way you love me. There's just no way. Yeah, I really do. No, there's not. Charles Spurgeon said, I'm so glad that God called me to be his child before the foundations of the world were ever laid. He called me to be his child because he sure wouldn't have called me after I was born, he said. That's cute, but he's joking. But I understand that. Can you tonight agree with the Messiah who said, I've come to set at liberty those who are bound, to open the eyes of the blind? Would you agree with him tonight that if your desire is for him, that you would now be exercising faith in what he has said, not what you feel? I have often told you, because people often ask me, Pastor, I don't know, how does it, I need to know, what am I to feel about salvation? I don't feel saved. And I tell them, I don't even know how to answer you on that. I don't know what it feels like to be saved. What does this feel? I don't know. Feel. Would you get goosebumps sometimes? I do when the breeze is cold and stiff. Well, do you get kind of like a, what? No, there's no, it's not feel. It's not a feel. That's why, listen, I'll challenge you with this. If today you want God, you love God, but you doubt everything about that, you have your Bible, you study it, you read it, but you think somehow you're not acceptable to him, then stand up and denounce him and burn your Bible in a trash can and go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. If you would say, oh, all right, then you're not his. Then I agree, you're not his. But if you would say, oh, perish the thought, I can't do that. Why can't you? I just can't. Because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. That's why you can't. But, no but. It's what he has said. In this verse, Isaiah introduces us to the doctrine of incarnation. This one, this child, something very, very important is happening here. Whoever this is, for unto us a child is born. He's introducing us to God becoming flesh. Which leads us to this question then. How big is your God? There are people running around the world saying, my God's bigger! Well, how big is your God? Big! But is he big enough? See, my God's big enough. How big is your God? My God is so big. Listen, I've talked to a lot of people about their gods. And they go, no, my God can't do that. I asked this one guy, can you imagine meeting up face to face with your God? No, that can't happen. That's impossible. But I thought you said a moment ago that your God could do anything. He can do anything. He could do anything, everything. But can he show up face to face and talk to man? Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Never happen. It's impossible. So then your God can't do anything. Can't do everything. No God can do that. And I said, I thought you said a moment ago you believe in Genesis, the first five books of Moses. I do. The Bible says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Just because your God can't do that, don't think my God can't. My God can do anything. Abraham's camping out in the side of a hill, and my God shows up walking with two angels. Remember that one? Right before Sodom and Gomorrah got toasted. Remember that? Do you remember when Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, in Judges 13, they had a son named Samson? What a mess that boy was, but do you remember when they're talking, the heavenly visitor encounters them? It's none other than what's called a theophanies. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. It's numerous in Scripture. Can your God do that? My God can do anything. And he shows up, and I think Mrs. Manoah, I forget who, one of the Manoahs, either the husband or the wife said, what is your name? We want to know your name. And because we're out of time, we'll have to touch on this next week. But he says this, the word wonderful. The word wonderful in your English Bible is the word, we would say, hidden or secret. Not secret like you can't know. It's, you've got to find out what my name is. That's what it means. And he says, why is it that you ask me for my name? Because my name is wonderful. My name is, you have to find out what my name is. The audacity of that. You need to search the scriptures to find out who I am. The incarnation, where God becomes flesh. How else can you be saved, my friend, if you're trusting in an animal's blood to save you? No, I would suppose if a lamb died today, then that lamb might save all the lambs in the world. If a rabbit were to die today, then maybe that rabbit would die for all the sins of all the rabbits of the world. But who's going to die for the sins of mankind? We got a big problem. Because the little lamb doesn't operate under the condemnation of a law. A bunny rabbit has no law to be condemned by. We're condemned by the law. The moment we wake up to spiritual reality, we're actually waking up to the fact that we're condemned. What's the good news? The good news begins with repent. The good news repents with the good news starts with the word repent, meaning here's the good news. What is it? Turn your mind in another direction. Start there. You must start there. And what is that? There is no man on earth, has never been, ain't now, won't ever be good enough to die for our sins. There is no man on earth that can somehow pay a debt for another man to get his sins off his back. Listen, you and I have friends who are little saviors, and they go through an act of being baptized for the dead to save their dead family members or friends that have passed on. And they, in their place, play out the role of a savior. It doesn't work. Mankind cannot produce a man to die for our sins. No one's good enough. No one comes close. That's why God came down. He didn't come down as a rabbit. He didn't come down as a lamb. He didn't come down as an angel. He came down as a human. And I want to ask you before we wrap this up, isn't that consistent with what the Bible has to say? Doesn't the Bible say in the very beginning, chapter 1, that God created us humans in his own image? We need to slow down and value what God values.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. And you know what? Our hope is that you truly understand God's love for us. It is vast. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to us, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy of a Savior. His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Pastor Jack's Real Radio program has been on the air for quite a while now, but did you know that you can access previous programs if you'd like? There are literally hundreds of past episodes to choose from that you can listen to when it's convenient for you. If you'll remember, we went through the Book of Acts here on the radio program. How about the Who Told You series or the messages on the power of giving from the Book of Philippians? Those are all great series, and you can get them at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Don't forget to download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet and take advantage of all those past messages. Hey, by the way, if you have a question about something you heard on the program, we'd love to talk to you about it. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Contact tab. We would love to connect you with someone who can help you out. That's the Connect tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.